This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Turns out the leak of the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade was not the first time that happened. Over the weekend, the New York Times reported that back in 2014, evangelical Christian activists learned of the Hobby Lobby decision before it came out. That case allowed the craft store giant to deny birth control coverage to its employees on the basis of its founders' religious beliefs. And it set a precedent for other privately held companies. Well, Justice Samuel Alito wrote that decision. He also wrote the Dobbs decision. And here with her analysis is our legal, Jessica Levinson, professor at Loyola Law School. Hello.
Hello. Just when we thought it was going to be a slow legal news week.
I know. Well, we still don't know who leaked the Dobbs decision for sure. But this is kind of tantalizing, right? Because it's the same justice. So what are the odds that he or someone close to him was the one who leaked the Dobbs decision?
It is absolutely tantalizing. And Madeline, you and I talked about this back when the Dobbs decision was leaked, which was obviously a legal and political earthquake. And I said, I think it's from a conservative justice or law clerk, because they actually have more to gain. And at the time, I thought they were trying to basically shame Justice Kavanaugh into not changing his mind and joining Chief Justice John Roberts for a kind of compromise that wouldn't have actually overturned Roe v. Wade. Now we have a little bit more evidence that there is another, in this case, alleged leak in another decision written by Justice Alito, also about abortion and religious rights. So obviously we don't have hard and fast answers here, but it is just fascinating to see how this is playing out. And for me, one of the really interesting parts of this other alleged leak is the amount of influence and lobbying that goes on behind the scenes to try and get Supreme Court justices to rule your way.
So interesting. Okay, so for people who didn't read the big New York Times story, give us just a thumbnail version of what is in that story and what they're saying happened with this decision and who the major players are.
So one of the major players here is somebody named Shank, and he used to lead an evangelical nonprofit in Washington, and he was very much involved in lobbying towards many of the cases that led up to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And basically what he said is he got tipped off to what the decision in that case you were talking about before, Hobby Lobby, what it was going to be before the decision came out. Now, why does that matter? It allowed him to get prepared for it. It allowed him to try and already start the public relations machine going. And it allowed him to later actually tip Hobby Lobby off and say, you're going to win this case. Again, a case where the court said in a 5-4 decision, a really close decision, that we're going to allow for-profit corporations that say it violates my religious beliefs to have to provide my employees with contraception, we're going to allow them to opt out of that part of the Affordable Care Act. And there's a very long story here about how he knows somebody who had dinner with Justice Alito and his wife, and Justice Alito basically let it slip in that dinner what exactly the decision was going to be. But the idea is that the leak happens in that dinner behind the scenes. Mr. Shank is eventually tipped off, and that's basically the story here.
And so I imagine that Justice Alito and others around him strongly deny that he was the source of the leak.
Justice Alito has said under no uncertain terms that he absolutely was not the source of the leak. He has denied it outright. And of course, on the other side, we have reporting from the New York Times that say, yes, there are some gaps, but we've talked to people who learned at the same time that Mr. Shank was saying, yes, I was just tipped off. I know what the outcome of this case is going to be.
Well, meanwhile, Justice Roberts said that he was going to investigate this leak and try to find out how it happened, the Dobbs decision I'm talking about. So what is happening with that investigation? Is it actually happening?
So we don't know. This is not a public investigation. It's really being run in-house in the Supreme Court. And my sense is that we probably will never find out exactly what happened. Or there's some suspicion of what happened, and we're kind of slow walking that investigation until interest fizzles. So again, my sense is that probably when it comes to this particular alleged leak, even though there will be more questions, there may be no more answers. And in the Dobbs case, if people just will not talk, then the way the investigation is set up, I'm not sure they will ever be forced to do so.
But as you say, aside from that, you have a picture of a justice having dinner and socializing and being very close with these activists on the Christian right. And that calls into question the independence of this body. And once again, perhaps damages the reputation of the court.
For me, that was the really big takeaway here. Not that there was an alleged leak, but that there's this incredibly intricate web of different stakeholders, donors, activists who are really working in a concerted effort to try and lobby Supreme Court justices. Now, this might sound familiar because this is, of course, what we expect when it comes to politicians. But as you said, the judiciary is supposed to be independent. And the whole idea behind us respecting their decisions is that they're not just politicians in robes. We really, in some ways, view them as magicians. They come out behind a curtain, they hear oral arguments, they disappear again. And then months later, they say, okay, we found the law and here it is. And that whole experiment and our respect for them really evaporates if they just look like any other group that can be aggressively lobbied by different stakeholders. And that's part of the picture here. I think it does nothing but terrible things for the integrity of the court.
Jessica Levinson, she teaches at Loyola Law School, and she joins us most Mondays with her insight and analysis. Thank you.
Thank you.
Up, the collapse of the crypto exchange FTX has raised questions about a philosophy of giving its CEO practice known as effective altruism.
We should do much more for each other. We should give away a lot of our income or even nearly all of our income to help save lives.
How some high flyers in Silicon Valley compromise that idea next on Press Play.